Test 1, 2, okay, that's working. I'm going to switch to the... Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I want to welcome you. Sorry we're running a little late today. We're having some heavy rains and caused us to be a little rain delay. How's that? Is that a good excuse, rain delay? Earl liked it. All right. Anyway, want to welcome folks watching online. Want to welcome the folks here. Amen. And... we're glad you're all with us today, even all you cute kids with your smiles. Don't smile so hard, it's going to break my heart. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, we're going to praise the Lord. Okay, this is Rabbi Joe. This is Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation here in Bristol, Virginia, in Bristol, Tennessee, where it is raining cats and dogs. And they're having a NASCAR race today. And I don't think, I got a serious question whether they're going to race those cars tonight. But anyway, shall we get started? Okay. All right. Hallelujah. How was the ride for you, Wendell? Pleasantly wet. Did you float here? Man, how about you, Anthony?
Well, I got a leak in my car, brother. Now I've got an umbrella in there.
You got a leak in your
my
what?
My top leaks a little bit. It's old like me. It's time to replace it.
So you drove a leaky top car?
Yeah. Some things you just got to do. They won't give up.
It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. For all sinners saved by grace. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat 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 Shalom. Hallelujah.
Israel, Yom Zeh Israel,
Yom Zeh Israel,
Ora
Vesimcha,
hey, Yom Zeh
Israel,
Ora Vesimcha, Ora Vesimcha, Shabbat Menucha, Yom Zeh Israel, Ora Vesimcha, Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha.
Hallelujah.
for Israel, filled with light and joy. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Filled with light and joy. A Sabbath of Israel. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. A Sabbath of his rest. A Sabbath of his rest.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Amen.
And the sun is shining, and he is shining through the rain, and the blessing of the Lord is great. Especially when the rain comes, we know the sign of his blessing is in the rain. So we thank him for the blessing of the Lord. So let's bless the Messiah back this morning. Let's give him our blessing. He's blessed us with so much. Let's bless him back. Hallelujah. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu et derech ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach. Yeshua, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation
in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Tovu Ohalecha Yaakov Mishkenotecha Israel, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles, Israel. Ve'ani berov hasdecha, bo betecha, and in thy great compassion, I will come into your house. There I will bow, there I will fear thy holiness.
Where you dwell,
in the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. The Vishamru on page 45. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat lasod et ha-Shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat lasod et ha-Shabbat ledorotam barit olam. B'nei u'b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, o'ti le'olam. V'shamru, b'nei Yisrael, et ha-Shabbat, la'sod et ha-Shabbat, le'dorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yomim asa Adonai, asa Adonai, shemayim v'yad haaretz, v'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. Lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. V'yom ha-shivi shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, v'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. Lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat,
observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant.
It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem.
Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and our hearts and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today and we pray, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and Kol Yisrael, all Israel. Lord, we pray for the coming of the Messiah to your chosen land, Lord, to your chosen people, to the land of Eretz Yisrael, and even to all the peoples that inhabit it, Lord. Our Ishmaelite brothers who are there, the Arabs, our Christian friends, Lord, we pray for the peace, Lord, that surpasses all understanding, to come upon Israel, Lord, and make that land of many, many faiths, but of the one true God, come together as one in you, Lord. We pray that you take the scales off the eyes of your people Israel, that you take the scales off the eyes of the Jewish people, and let them see their Messiah, Lord. Save them from the highest leaders in Netanyahu and the Knesset and the military, to the lowliest street sweeper and fruit salesman vendor in the marketplace, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you would come to them and reveal yourself, show yourself, save your people Israel, Lord. As you promised in the word in Hosea, you said in the latter days that we, the Jewish people, would come trembling to you In Hosea 3, you said, with fear, we would come trembling to you with fear and for your goodness in the latter days, in the end of days. Thank you, Lord, that I'm one of those who's come, and many others will come too. Lord, I pray also for the Messianic congregations in America. I pray for the salvation of our Jewish brothers and sisters in the United States and around the world, Lord, that they would come to know their Messiah, just as many of us have, and that the scales would be removed from their eyes, those who live in the exile and the diaspora, that they would come to know their Messiah, and that you would reveal yourself to them as miraculously. Thank you, Lord. I pray for Mom. Lord, I continue to pray for her salvation, and that you just open her eyes to who Yeshua is and to where Dad is and where my brother is, Lord. As she continues in hospice, I pray for Harriet that you would open her eyes, Lord. Father, I pray for the rabbis today, our Messianic, my brothers and sisters out there leading congregations. I pray that you encourage their hearts. I pray that you meet their needs emotionally, spiritually, financially, whatever their needs are, Lord, that you meet, help them, that you bless them, make them a blessing to their people. I pray for a spirit of boldness to speak the truth without compromise. I pray, Lord, for our leaders, that you would give us executive leaders who would have the spirit of Eliakim. And I pray that you just clear out the spirit of Shebna from among them, and fill them with the spirit of Eliakim and remove the spirit of Shebna, and give us executive leaders who will do the right thing, who will unite us and bring us prophetically into our destiny, Lord. Please, Lord, we ask that in the name of Yeshua. Lord, bless our leaders in this country. Your word says, pray for our leaders. So we pray for President Trump today, Lord. We pray for his office. People don't realize that if he doesn't succeed, nobody succeeds. And that if he's blessed, we're all blessed. And people who don't know God don't understand that. And so we pray for his success. Pray for his safety. Pray for his family's safety, Lord. We pray for the dignity of the office, Lord, that people would respect. If you don't respect the man, respect the office of the president of your country, because you don't live in it. Otherwise, go live in Russia. But we just pray, Lord, for the man in the office and his family, for their protection, and for his direction. We pray, Lord, for the Congress and the Senate that they would grow up, and that you'd give them a spine, and that they would do what the people sent them to do. In the name of Yeshua, we pray for our local and city governments too, that they would not be so timid, that they would do the right things, Lord. The governments are so timid these days to do what's right. It's not good. Lord, help them in the name of Yeshua. Now bless this service. Hallelujah.
Father, I want to pray also, Father, for the Christian pastors, Lord. You take the scales off of our eyes, take the scales off of the Christian church, just plain church, Father. Lord, let us become intimate with you, Father. You what is right, Father. You said Abraham was counted righteous because he obeyed your voice, Father. Start speaking to your people, Lord. Whether they're
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pour out your spirit on all flesh, Lord, just as Danny said, Lord. Pour out your spirit according to Joel 2, Lord. Pour out your spirit. We're going to talk about that scripture today, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. All right. And now the Lord says.
And now the Lord says, he reformed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For he's honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
one of them. Oh.
Start it. Go.
Manavu ale hari
ragale amivase. Manavu ale hari ragale amivase. Mashamiya Yeshua, Mashamiya Shalom, Mashamiya Yeshua, Mashamiya Shalom.
How lovely all the mountains are, the feet of him. Of him bringing good news. Proclaim to Zion, Yeshua. Proclaim to Zion, Shalom. Proclaim to Zion, Yeshua. Proclaim to Zion, Shalom.
Mashamiya,
Yeshua.
Mashamiya Shalom,
Mashamiya
Yeshua, Mashamiya Shalom.
Please rise for the Shema.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vahed. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher enochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta baham v'shivtecha b'vetecha u'v'lechtecha v'derech Uveshach b'cha, uvekumecha, ukeshartam, liot al yadecha, v'hayulatot afot b'nei necha, uchetavtam, al mezuzot b'techa, uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you
rise.
And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, and upon your gates.
Amen. Come on. Oh, two men? I only one. Wendell, would you come and carry the Torah for us?
Mi
amocha elim Adonai. Mi Nedar Bakodesh Norat Hilot O Sefele O Sefele.
is like thee, O Lord, among the gods. Who is like thee, Lord, there is none else. You are awesome in praise, doing wonders, O Lord, doing wonders, O Lord.
And the answer to that is Ein kamocha ba'eini maronai ba'ein kamasecha Malchut Cha, Malchut Kol Olamim, Umimshel Techam, Bichol Dor Vador.
Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imloch Liolam Vaher, Adonai Oz Liamo Yitain, Adonai Yivarech Et Amo Bashalom.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord.
And there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will give his people with peace.
Amen.
Ma tovu manaim, shevet achim gam yachad. Inne ma tovu manaim, shevet achim gam yachad. Inne ma tovu, shevet achim gam yachad. Inne ma tovu. Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. Hine Ma Tovu Manayim. Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. Hine Ma Tovu Manayim. Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. Hine Ma Tovu. Shevet Achim Gam Yachad.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. In unity, to dwell in unity. Hey, la 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 la. In unity, to dwell in unity. Hey, la la la. La 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 la. Hey, he named my tovu manayim shevet achim gam yachad. He named my tovu manayim shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tov, hine ma tov. La 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 la. Hine ma tov, hine ma tov. La 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 la. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell. unity, to dwell in unity. La 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 la. In unity, to dwell in unity. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You, Lord. Give him praise. Give him honor. Vayehi ben Soharom, Vayehem Moshe,
Kum Adonai, Viafutsu Oivecha, Vianusu Misanecha, Mipanecha, Ki Mitzion Tetse Torah. Ki mitzion teitze Torah, udevar Adonai, mi-Yerushalayim, Baruch shenatan Torah, Torah, Baruch shenatan Torah, Torah, Le'amo Yisrael, b'kedushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. You can see. Can you handle that? All right. Yamod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch et Adonai Hamvora,
Baruch Adonai
Hamroch Yolam Vahed, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim, Benatan Lanu et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai Notein HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God,
King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah.
Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. And welcome home, Rebbitz and Don.
Thank you.
Good to see you here.
Rebbitzin, first officer.
All right. She'll be a general before long, we can see. I always said if Colonel Sanders had this guy's chicken, he would have been a general instead of a colonel. But, oh well, today's Torah portion is something I've been studying all week. You know, I do the mitzvah a day, and it's been talking, I guess it's leading up to the High Holy Days and the Yamin Norim, the repentance. But it's called Shoftim, and it's from Deuteronomy 16 through Deuteronomy 21. And it means the judges. You know, right now we are in the 40 days of awe, and that means a time of repentance. It's a time for us to get our spiritual house in order. You know, at Passover we get the house cleaned up, and during these 40 days of awe, Yamin Norim, we are to get our spiritual house in alignment with God and get it cleaned up. Teshuva is what it's called, and it means to turn. So when you repent, you are turning from something to something. You're making a turn in your life. Since creation, mankind has always been seeking what he would call the truth. And you see, we are, as humans, we are limited in our abilities to understand things and to do things. You know, every word of the Torah is a new word each day that you read it. You know, a lot of people that I talk with think that Judaism and the study of the Torah is more of a traditional type thing than it is anything that deals with spiritual. So, but tradition is not life, but tradition can preserve life. So we see with the Torah, it may not be considered tradition, but it is definitely life to those that read it. You see, when God gave us his Torah and his word, he had provided mankind with the absolute standard for all truth. And it's in there. You know, with the Torah, it gives us an objective value of our guide for guidelines and for principles and for looking at things objectively are all applicable and found in the Torah. They are there for every situation you have in life, whether you realize it or not. Every place you are in life, it's in there. And every time in situation, again, I'll say, are there or in God's Word. You see, our response, and today we see that God is telling Moses to instruct the Israelites, the children of Israel, that they are to appoint judges and officers. The judges are the ones that would review the instructions from God, and they would give the direction, and then the officers would perform that direction. You see, our responsibility, which goes over into the law of the United States and state law, our responsibility is to be the judge. And in doing so, we must interpret and apply that application to whatever the situation is. So God is telling Moses, he says, place judges and officers at all of your gates, because later on they were going to be building cities and things like that. A judge at every gate, it is a desire, I think, to conform to the Torah, to the words of God and what his instructions are by sitting out judges on all our gates. And we also, I think it calls us not only as it did them, but ourselves today, that we must be a judge at our home. We must be the judge that structures our home according to God's instructions in the Torah. That's what our job is as a head of a household, or a wife may be a head of a household. But God says your gates. He brings it down to a personal interaction with the world, because he's saying it's about your gates. And we all have gates in our bodies, whether we realize it or not. We have personal things. So we must establish a gate to as a judge with it, just as the Torah has instructed and God told Moses to tell the Israelites. You see, our gates need to be set with where our eyes are at, where our nose is at, where our ears are at, where our mouth is at. Even our skin needs to have a gate on it, not to touch anything that would not be what God would be pleasing to God. You see, we got to guard the personal gates. You see, God further instructed, if you read the Torah portion today, this parasha, you will see that God said, don't build a monument, but rather build an altar. And so we are called to submit ourselves upon our altar each day. And we are called to place ourselves upon that altar, and that altar will be ourselves sacrificing ourselves unto God on a daily basis. You know, Yeshua taught a great concept to his disciples when he took the basin and the towel and washed their feet. That was quite a humble, because he, after all, was God in human form. But he lowered himself to that of a servant and washed their feet. So I think that is a call to us, that each day we must also test the basin. We must also test the towel to go out into the world, because we're going into a world that's very dirty and unclean. So we must prepare ourselves with the basin and the towel. And just to close this parasha this morning, Acts 17, God's word says Yeshua is the judge appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. And that will be coming quicker than we think. Shabbat Shalom.
Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei Bnei Israel Al Pialdei Bia Moshe.
This is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
La magazin kibba betomchel meushar derachecha dohena
shalom. Ashivenu Adonai Elecha ben Ashuva Hadesh Hadesh Amenu Hadesh Amenu
is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Victory. Everybody say victory.
Victory. Well, she's doing that. Can you go to YouTube and look up United Express ERJ145 taking off? If you can get that ready. I'll show people what she's doing, what she did.
And Wednesday I leave again, and I've been in the box, I call it. It's the little trainer box, which is just like the airplane. But this next week I'll be actually flying the airplane, so it'll be the first time, and with passengers. So hallelujah. First trip I think will be to Milwaukee and back on Thursday. So praise the Lord. I don't know if she's. While she's getting that up, I will. Let's just go over a few things that are coming up. We have a fall feast scheduled. Did everybody get a bulletin? Chan or somebody, would you go make sure everybody's got a bulletin? And those of you who are here, if nobody's outside greeting people and giving out bulletins, somebody can take that job. In the morning, say, I can do something. Make sure everybody's got a bulletin. All right. Here comes Chan with the bulletins. And in the near future, I am planning to put all our announcements up on PowerPoint. How many of you like having the bulletin? Do you use it? Do you take it home? If you like having a bulletin, raise your hand. Everybody does. Okay. All right. Well, I'll continue. I just want to make sure that we are using them, because if we're not, I'm going to take that away, and we'll just put it on the board there. Okay. Here we go. Well, that's not my airline, but that's okay. That's the. United, yeah. But that's not United.
We have
We'd have to unplug stuff to get in.
Is that the same kind of plan you're going to fly?
That's it. That's awesome. It says, yeah, that's it. No. 50 passengers. It's small. It's small. It's going to take a minute to get to the runway.
Do you have to have a certain amount of flight hours before you know what you're doing?
It's complicated to explain it, but technically, no. But for me.
Right. Well, why don't you talk?
So, there it's. Yeah, he's turned his lights on. He's getting ready to take off. There he goes. XR, but they're basically the same thing. What's that? Oh, yeah, yeah, it will be. It will be that first time. That's it.
And, you know, there's nothing, people who are watching that, can the people at home see that? For those who don't know who are watching what we just watched, Dawn just went through about 10 weeks of training. She's going to be a first officer on that type of airplane. And her first flight is Wednesday, where she actually flies passengers. Thursday of this week. So she just completed her training, and we are thrilled for our Rebbetzin. She's the only Rebbetzin pilot I know.
And, in the whole world. I'm the only Rebbetzin who's a pilot. Messianic.
She's the only Messianic girl pilot I know. But we're proud of her, and it's not been an easy summer for us. It's been an interesting summer, but we are very proud of Mom, of what we call her Mom, even though she's not my mom, but you know, she's the boy's mom. And you know, it's quite an accomplishment. But I want to just say to people, you know, Dawn is, you know, we're not 32, we're not 27, we're not 25, we're in our 50s. Yeah. And the point is what I'm speaking is to the young people is that if you work hard, there's nothing you can't accomplish. Amen. If you work hard and you have a dream, Dawn's been flying since she was 17. 17. Who's 14 in here? Anybody? Xavier? Who's 15? Anybody 15? Okay, Isaac's 15. Chan, you 15? Yeah? Dawn's been flying since she was 17 years old. And there's nothing you can't do. If you work hard and give it everything you've got, but you're going to have to do the work, cuz they're not going to let you go in the cockpit of a plane like that if you don't pay the price. Amen. So let's continue on. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for celebrating. We're going to be celebrating, I think, after our services, so stay tuned and have some lunch and probably some cake and a few other visitors that may be showing up. So thank you all for coming and celebrating and praying for me. All the prayers that went forth was just amazing. So I really appreciate it. And the encouraging words, Maria always calling me saying, "You got this, girl. You got this." And
she got it.
I got it. So praise the Lord. But let's look at what's coming up in September. We've got the fall feast schedule there. And look at that pretty thing that we put together this week. And so Rosh Hashanah is there, Yom Kippur, and then we've got Sukkot in the mountains, September 28th to 30th. We're going to have more details on that. We're going to need to sign up and register for it because there'll be food, and we've got special guests coming. Deborah Klein, Ian Torna will be coming for that. So we will have a registration. It'll be minimal, but and lots of things going on that weekend. And so we need to be in prayer. We're going to have a planning meeting again Monday night. But these are the high holidays, and our high holiday services will be here in this room. Sukkot in the mountains will be at New Life Baptist Church out past the race track. Okay, so just keep that in mind, and let's bring some friends. Let's pray about who we'd like to bring to these special services. All right, and maybe write it, maybe flip it over today or right now. Flip your piece of paper over and write five names on this piece of paper that you'd like to invite, and maybe go and pick them up and bring them. Make it a special night for them and tell them about how this is God's time for revival. It's his special time of revival, and it's important to be in the house of the Lord during his appointed times. We're all ordering calendars. They'll hopefully be here before that, you know, the next month, next 15 days. We're going to put an order in, so it should be in, you know, the next 10 days or so. So we'll have new calendars for the next year, and you can know what God's appointed times are. Okay, and here's the Sukkot in the Mountains flyer. You can take a few extras. There's more out on the table, and I'll be putting this. This is already on the website, but Constant Contact is down right now. Until we have things settled down with new email, and that's going to be the whole key, is I've got to get a new email. Everybody's been used to using For Zion's Sake 2 at earthlink.net, and we're going to change our email. That's a big process because we've been using it for a long time, and it's connected to a lot of things. So we need to change that email to make sure that everything is completed on our security. And it'll be connected to a new website that we're designing. So we're in the process of designing a new website, getting a new email. And so just look for those changes. Pray for everything that's going on in the office. But it's coming along. I think it's going to be great. It's going to be a new, fresh look. I'm excited about it. God's doing a new thing. Amen? Everybody say, he's doing a new thing. He's going to bring new people. He's going to bring us a fresh look. We're going to do a new thing. We're going to move to a new place soon. Amen? The pillar is moving, and we have to move with him. We can't get stuck in the old. We got to just say, okay, God, what's your thing? What you're doing? And we got to be flexible and move. So that's what we're going to do. Amen? Hallelujah. I think that's all I have there. Like I said, there's the dates. Put them on your calendar. Pray about them. Write down five people that you're going to invite and bring. And now on the other side, I want you to write five people you're going to bring to the fall feast. I want you to write down five people that you're going to invite to Shabbat services next week, okay? And we need to get people here so that they can hear the word of the Lord, the prophetic word of the Lord. If they're not here listening to what Rabbi is saying, they're not going to be prepared for the end times. And this word is for people for the now. For the end times, the things, the troubles that are coming, and there are going to be troubles. But God's got a plan. Everybody say, God's got a plan. And historically, and it says in the Bible that he gives the plan to who?
His prophets.
His prophets. Who are his prophets? The Jewish people. Okay? His prophetic word comes through the Jewish people for the events that are coming, okay? I'm not saying that nobody else is a prophet. I'm saying that the prophetic word for God's plan for the last days comes through the Jewish people. And the only Jewish people who have the Spirit of the Lord are Messianic, Okay? Messianic word of the Lord. It's important you bring people to hear what's going to happen. Okay? So write those people down. Pray for them on that piece of paper. And let's determine to bring a few people with us. Okay? Can we do that? Amen. All right. And those of you who are out online, we welcome you. Come join us. Come join us. This is your connection to Israel. This is your place in the Tri-Cities. For you to, if you have a call to be for the Jewish people, why not come here to the congregation and serve? Serve the Jewish people right here where you're at. You don't have to go to Israel. You don't have to go to some special place around the world. You have a place to serve Israel right here in the Tri-Cities. So come. Amen? All right. Here you go. Rabbi, it's yours.
Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I just, before we take up our tithes and offerings, I wanted to say that the Sukkot in the mountains, especially for the folks watching online, we want to invite you, if you have an RV, if you have a camper, a tag-along, a fifth wheel, even a tent, we have 100 acres. We're going to be doing it at New Life Baptist Church. We're doing it together with them. They're going to provide meals for us. We're going to have they're going to have a tent for the Sukkot services. They're going to have hay rides. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have campfires, and they're going to. But there will be some fee. It won't be huge. It won't be like, you know, going to the beach or something with your RV. It's going to be reasonable for the cost of meals and RVs and stuff like that. But they have hookups, electricity and water. So if you want to come, if you have friends, you want to do Sukkot in the mountains here in Tennessee, and you want to do it outdoors on a 100-acre farm, come and join us, spread the word, share it with your friends, and let them know. Contact our ministry that you're interested. If you're on our website, you can email us, or you can call us. Our email does work, and our telephone works. So we're just changing over to new systems, we're modernizing, we're progressing.
Yes.
I don't like that
moving
word.
Forward.
We're moving forward. Kadima. Kadima in Hebrew means move forward. So anyway, praise the Lord. Let's pray. We're going to take up our tithes and our offerings. And by the way, that Sukkot festival is September 28th, 29th, and 30th. That's September 28th, Thursday. I'm sorry, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 28th, 29th, and 30th. All right, let's pray for our tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity, Lord, to give back what already belongs to you, and that you give us the opportunity to give back and to bless, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that you bless the giver and bless the gift 100-fold. Lord, I pray, I thank you that I've seen, Lord, your word says, as a man sows, so shall he reap. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I've seen that principle in my life. When I give, not that I've done it because of what I'm going to get, but I've just seen when I give $200, I'll find a check for $1,000. When I give $500, I might find a check for $3,000. When I've given $1,000, I've gotten checks for $10,000. You've blessed me in amazing ways through the years, Lord. And whenever you put it on my heart to give, and you've spoken to me, you have blessed me back more abundantly, exceeding abundantly above all that I could hope, think, or ask, or even anticipate that you were going to do. And so if God's speaking to your heart, you bless, then you bless and obey him, and he will bless you back. Hallelujah. In the name of Yeshua, God bless you as you give. And if you're online, you can donate securely on PayPal right there at our website. You can, if you don't have a congregation, and we're happy to be your spiritual home. If you're just watching as a friend, if you'd like to support this work, you can donate online. God bless you. But if we don't get your information, all we get is your name and what you gave. So if you want a receipt, we need you to email us or call us and tell us your address and or email so that we can send you a receipt, okay? God bless you all. Shalom. Thank you.
השנה הבאה נשב על הון בפסח ונצפורים נדדות ולעתיד יחושב יפס כאן תופסת בין הבית ובין השדות עוד תראה עוד תראה כמה טוב יהיה בשנה בשנה הבאה עוד תראה עוד תראה כמה טוב יהיה בשנה בשנה הבאה wait and see and the vines they will grow the tender leaves will blossom and the fruit of our hands will be sweet and the winds that bring change will clear away the ashes and as brothers will go forth to meet wait and see what a world there can be What a world there can be if we care if we share you and me Oh men have dreamed men have died to make a bright tomorrow and their vision remains in our hearts Now the torch must be passed with hope and all and sorrow and a promise make a new start wait and see what a world there can be we care if we share you and me wait and see what a world there can be if we care if we share you and me bashana habaa shev haba peset ben espo tiburim nenedo yaladi bakhsha ve'afes kutom peset ben haba yitoven hasado
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Now arise, O Lord, to your resting place with all your power and might. As we stand here clothed in your righteousness, we will sing and dance for joy. For you have chosen Zion as a place for you to dwell. Worship the name and all will bow before the glory of God. You swore an oath unto Abraham, your covenant will stand, and on your throne in Jerusalem, you provided a lamb for you. Have chosen Zion to make your glory known. We will run to the mountain of God. We will sound the alarm. Salvation has come. We will dance, we will praise, we will worship the name. And all will bow before the glory. And all will bow before the glory. And all will bow before the glory of God. We will run to the mountain of God. We will sound the alarm. Salvation has come. We will dance, we will praise, we will worship the name. And all will bow before the glory. And all will bow before the glory of God. Now arise, O Lord, to your resting place with all your power and might. Everybody stand up.
Stand here close.
and your righteousness.
Sing, dance for joy,
for you have chosen Zion
as a place for you to
dwell. Come on! We will run to the mountain of God. We will sound the alarm, salvation has come. We will dance, we will praise, we will worship the name. And all will bow before the glory. And all will bow before the glory. And all will bow before the glory of God. Oh, do la donai kito. Do la donai kito. Oh, do la donai kito. Oh, do la donai kito. Odula donai kito, odula donai kito, odula donai kito. Oh, we will run to the mountain of God. We will sound the alarm, salvation has come. We will dance, we will praise, we will worship the name, and all will bow before the glory of God.
Everybody, let's worship him.
Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and the lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and he will bless the humble with Yeshua.
Of the righteous.
Oh, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in the congregation of the righteous. Let the saints rejoice in his glory. Let them sing for joy on their bed. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths. To each sword in their hands. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will bless the humble with Yeshua. Oh, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in the congregation of the righteous. Oh, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in the congregation of the righteous. Oh, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song in the congregation of the righteous. In the congregation of the righteous. In the congregation of the righteous. Praise. Praise the Lord. You are God.
Here am I on earth.
I am so in love with you. And I'll stand in awe of you. Yes, I'll stand in awe of you. And I'll let my words be few. Yeshua, I am so love with you.
Simplest of all love songs, I want to sing to you. So I'll let my words be few. Yeshua,
I am so with you.
Oh, oh, and I'll stand in awe of you. Yes, I'll stand in awe of you.
And I'll let my words be few. I am so in love with you.
Yeshua,
I am so in love with you.
Yeshua,
I am so in love with you.
That cometh in the name of the Lord.
Adonai, hallelujah. Baruch haba, Shem Adonai, Baruch haba, Shem Adonai, hallelujah.
Made a home in me. I have have found a dwelling place made with eternal stone. La 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 la. Ooh. Yeshua HaMashiach Adonai. Eternity is in, it's in my heart. It's in my heart. Eternity, it's in my heart. It's in my heart. You are in my heart, Lord. You're in my heart. My face is turned to Zion, the rising of your glory within your walls, O Lord. And I'm facing eternity. My steps go forward towards your glory, your glory.
Call Isaac up front. I want to pray for you. Isaac hurt his knee in a football game, and this is not the first time he's hurt it, so I want him to come up and anoint him. Wendell, would you come up? Join me. And Anthony, would you come? We're going to pray over Isaac. Somebody, could you turn on my thank you. You knew what to do. Let's just gather around him. Others want to come and gather around. It's fine. All right. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just bless my boy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this boy that you've given me, Lord, and what you've done in his life, and how he's just grown spiritually, how he's grown academically, how he's grown athletically, how he's grown in so many ways. He understands the world, Lord. He understands what's going on in the world. He has an understanding. And I thank you for all that, Lord. I also thank you that he's a kid. And Lord, I just want to pray for his knee, Lord. Just anoint him right now in the name of Yeshua, Lord. Just pray that you take the inflammation.
Yes, Father.
Take the inflammation and
rebuke it in Yeshua.
Yeah, in the name of Yeshua. Take the inflammation. Take any, just heal every ligament, every tendon, every muscle, every bone. Anything that's out of place, anything that's inflamed, that's swollen, Lord, we just ask that you touch. Touch him, Lord. In the name of Yeshua. Just touch him. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. Yes.
In Yeshua's name. In Yeshua's name. Yes, God. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Well, we're gonna go to the Lord's table, and so I'm gonna ask Maria and Sharon, would you like to serve today? Okay. And Maria, would you like to come and serve with Sharon? And we're gonna go to the Lord's table. So if you're watching at home and you'd like to join us, if you have some bread or some matzah or crackers and some grape juice or manischewitz, whatever you like, fruit of the vine, this is a good time to get it, and we're going to bless the elements, and we're going to receive the grace of God. We're going to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. So welcome, Betty, and my sister, Joan. Forgive me, Joan. Hey, welcome. Amen. Joan Calhoun. I invited her here. I know who she is. I'm just a little slow today. Don't mind me. All right. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. It was on a Passover meal, Yeshua, nearly 2,000 years ago, Yeshua took the cup, the third cup we call the cup of redemption, taken it every Passover meal, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin." That same Passover, just as at every other Passover in the world, he took the bread. There's three layers of bread called the Unity, and in English it's called the Unity, and he took the middle layer, which we call the in Greek it's afikomen, and in Jewish we say afikomen. But anyway, afikomen, it means that which comes later. And he took that which comes later, the middle layer of bread, and he broke it into small pieces, and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen? Amen. So by doing so, he changed the meaning. Jewish people take the cup and the bread, third cup and the afikomen. They take it after the meal at every Passover for thousands of years. In the time of Yeshua, they were doing it. And they do it now. I did it growing up for, 30 years before I became a believer. I did it. And I've done it ever since. But he gave it a new meaning. He gave it a new meaning. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we don't believe that it's the actual body. We believe it's he was saying, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is a picture. Amen. And so when we do it, it's kind of like baptism, but you don't get saved by baptism. But baptism is an outward sign of your salvation, that you've made a decision to accept the Lord, that the Lord's come into your life. Baptism is an outward expression of your faith. Now, does that mean the Holy Spirit doesn't come upon you when you get baptized? Of course not. If, the Holy Spirit can come upon you in the water. The Holy Spirit can come upon you dancing, the Holy Spirit can come upon you, singing and worshiping, you know, you walking your dog. I mean, the Holy Spirit can come upon you anytime he wants to come. He can come upon you. Amen.
Amen.
There's no magic to it. He just does what he wants to do. Amen. As long as you're willing and allow him. But before we come to the Lord's table, we invite all believers to come. But I want to ask you to bow your heads with me. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Yeshua, I think we're all family in the Lord here today. But if there's anybody watching that doesn't know Yeshua as your Savior, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. Hallelujah. Just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. And let's all join me in this prayer. If you'd like to ask Yeshua to be your Savior. You know, I heard somebody say on Facebook a few days ago that they said that a guy said that nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to invite God in your heart. But that's what I did when I became a believer. And I didn't know anything. I was in my bed. No Christian led me to find Jesus. No human being. I was in my bed. It was in the middle of the night. And I was dying. And I felt scared. I was terrified. I was going to die. Couldn't breathe. Couldn't move. My heart was doing strange things. I couldn't get air. Couldn't get to a phone. I was all alone. And this was in 1996. And then all of a sudden this thought, I'd been reading the New Testament, this thought came into my head, the Lord Jesus loves you. I didn't know who Yeshua was back then. The Lord Jesus loves you, you have nothing to fear. The Lord Jesus loves you, you have nothing to fear. And all of a sudden the fear that was in the room left, and there was peace, waves of peace and love and safety came into the room as I began to think on Jesus. I hear those words in my head. I found myself spread out on the bed like this, my arms out to my side, and I began to call out, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And I felt this energy surging through my body, through my limbs, and my heart was pounding like I thought it was going to rip out of my chest. I had no control over it. I just found myself saying, come into my heart. Still thought I was going to die, but I just knew that even if I did, this Jesus was going to save me, that I was going to be, it was going to be okay, that I was going to be in a good place. And the only thing I felt sad about was that I couldn't say goodbye to my mother. That's the only thing I felt I wished I could have done, is say goodbye to my mom before I go. Well, I didn't go, as you can see. I invited him into my heart, and that morning, all of a sudden, it was in the dark when this took place, but all of a sudden the sun came out. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning, and I had the peace that surpasses all understanding. I've never felt a peace like that. And there I went to bed. It was Valentine's Eve. I was heartbroken. I had a breakup with a girl that I thought I was going to marry. And it didn't work out, and we had a fight, and I literally thought I believe I was dying. And I woke up a new creation, amen, totally new, transformed, and had the peace of God. And I didn't miss that girl I felt sorry that she didn't have the peace that I had. And I called her up to tell her. I said, "You need to, you know what I found?" And she laughed at me and she mocked me. And I didn't care. I had something much better than any unbelieving gal could give me. Amen. So praise God. And so if you're watching, let's pray. If you'd like to ask Yeshua into your heart, He's the Son of God. He died for your sins. He was buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead on the third day. If you believe that, pray with me now. Just say what I say. Dear God, thank you for sending your son
to
die in my place, to save me,
to save me
from the fear of death, from the fear of going over the cliff, from the terror of the unknown,
from the terror of the unknown,
of eternal darkness,
of eternal darkness,
and not knowing where I'm going,
not knowing where I'm going,
that I can know,
that I can know,
that with Yeshua,
that with Yeshua,
I can be in paradise.
I can be in paradise.
With the Messiah.
With the Messiah.
With Jesus.
With Jesus.
The day I die.
The day I die.
I shall live.
I shall live.
And my eyes shall see God.
My eyes shall see God.
And you shall, I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
That though I've messed up.
Though
I've
messed up.
I need you.
I need you.
To wash me.
To wash me.
To forgive me.
To forgive me.
Because your standard is perfection.
Because your standard is perfection.
And I've messed up.
And I've messed up.
I've broken your laws.
I've broken your laws.
So come into my heart.
So come into my heart.
And cleanse me.
And cleanse me.
Make me a new creature.
Make me a new creature.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Put my name in your book of life.
Put my name in your book of life.
Save me.
Save me.
In Yeshua's name.
Yeshua's name.
Amen.
Amen.
If you prayed that with sincerity and you received the Lord and you feel that peace in your heart, I have a gift for you. Just contact us through our ministry and just say, you know, send a message to Rabbi Joe and tell me that you accepted the Lord into your heart, and I will give me your email or a way I can contact you. I have a gift for you, and just you can private message me on For Zion's Sake Ministries Facebook page, or you can email us either any way that you would like to get in contact. God bless you. God bless you. Come as you're ready, ladies.
The love of God, the love of God, can you see on that tree?
Come to me.
Yeshua is the love of God. And that speaking of that guy who said that we don't invite God in our heart, the most important commandment, Yeshua said, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Amen? With all your might. And, you know, we feel joy in our heart. We feel peace. You don't feel it in your elbow, right? You don't feel peace in your... I don't feel peace in my knee. I don't feel... I don't sense his presence in my ear. It's in my heart. Yeah. Amen? Hallelujah. Now the test the word, you know, if you feel something in your heart, test the word. But go follow your heart. Test it, but follow your heart. As long as it lines up with the Word of God. I always warn people about things that are not scriptural. If it's not in the Word of God, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that people get into that doesn't line up. It's not in the Word. And so we got to be very careful, you know, what we're getting involved in. Is it in the Word? Does the Word tell us to do it? Does the Word... I'm very Word-oriented. And I'll just give you one example. Well, we're taking communion. I'll give you the example afterward. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I'm going to preach today. I can feel it. I can feel it coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's all kinds of love in this world, but there's only one eternal love. Amen. And when you share Yeshua with your friends, with your loved ones, you are sharing the greatest gift, the greatest love of all. And if you have unsaved friends and you haven't, and you need to share with them, and you haven't, and you're afraid, you're doing, you know, you're not loving them completely. You may lose their friendship by sharing the eternal love of God. But if you don't share it, you won't be with them. Amen. So be bold. Take a stand. Amen. L'chaim, to life. I'm going to pray up here. You want to do the song?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll do it since you're here. We're going to pray for the kids. Invite the kids to come up and adults to gather around.
Protect and defend,
Lord, protect.
protect and defend
May
you.
May the Lord preserve you from pain.
The Lord preserve you from pain.
Favor us, O Lord, with happiness and
with
peace.
Happiness,
oh, hear our Sabbath
you for these kids, the ones here and the ones who are not standing with me. Just pray, Lord, we thank you that they are the beginning of our strength. They are arrows in our quiver. They are our heritage. They are our future. They are the future of the world. We thank you, Lord, that you prepare them for their destiny in life as it goes by quick, Lord. It goes by quick. They go from cradle to adult very quickly. And we pray that you prepare them for their future, prepare their minds and their hearts for what they're going to be as they grow up. Lord, show them, speak to them as you did to Samuel. Yes. Pray, Lord, for their helpmates, that you would prepare their helpmates even now for them and prepare them for their helpmates, Lord, in life. And we pray, Lord, for their success, that you bless them, give them the courage to say no to things. Want to say no to following the crowd when they know it's wrong. Pray, Lord, that they would be able to be choose good and not evil, that they would see the path of righteousness and walk on it, and hear your voice say, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Lord, in the name of Yeshua, we just bless our kids, and we pray for them. We pray that you use them, help them to lead others to you. Help them to share their faith and to pray. Teach them to pray. Teach them to read your word, Lord. Give them a desire and a hunger for your word. And give them boldness to share the gospel with other people, children and adults. In Yeshua's name, Lord, make them fruitful. Amen. Okie dokie. Let's pray for the word of the Lord. Is that on there, Isaac? Okay. All right. Let's pray for the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today. Your word is truth. Your word is life. Your word is blessing. Your word, if we follow it, and your word sets the captives free. Thank you, Lord. And your word says, "Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We thank you for your word today, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Now, give me your word and guide me through this message. Bless our fellowship as we celebrate Don's promotion. To first officer in this new jet that she's flying for United Express Airlines. We thank you, Lord, and we just give you the praise in Yeshua's name. We bind the enemy. We bind the strong man. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I want to welcome everybody on Facebook. Today's message is the Bridegroom and the Second Coming, Part 3. The Bridegroom and the Second Coming, Part 3. If you're just joining us, we've gone through 2 weeks of... somebody could look up the Jewish wedding ceremony on their phone and bring it up to me, so I can read it and show it in Hebrew. Just look up what the Jewish wedding ceremony, how it starts. I've been meaning to bring my prayer book, but Anyway, if you would do that, I'd be blessed, or I can actually do it with this here. Let's see if I can do it. The Jewish wedding ceremony. Thank you, Lord. All right. Okay. All right. In every traditional Jewish wedding, and this whole series is started actually with the blood red moon. There was a blood red moon about 4 weeks ago. And the blood red moon, if we read, let's turn to Matthew. I'm booming just a little bit. But so let's go to Matthew 24. Welcome our friends on Facebook. Glad you're with us. And let's look here in Matthew chapter 24. And right at the beginning, now there's lots of parts to the Jewish wedding, but when a Jewish wedding starts, it starts with these words. The rabbi says, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And many Christians are familiar with those words from Matthew 23, which is a chapter behind the one I was talking about. If you look in Matthew 23, 27 to 29, Matthew 23, 37 to 39, it says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From now on you will not see me until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so when at the beginning of a Jewish wedding ceremony, every rabbi, every traditional religious Jewish wedding ceremony, when they get to the altar and start the ceremony, there's a lot of stuff that happens before too. But at the ceremony itself, the rabbi, when he says those words, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, the bridegroom comes to the altar and he stands next to the rabbi, and then at that point he stands and the rabbi says a few more words to him, a few more, you know, things that he says, and then the music starts, and the bride begins to process, and she'll come down with her father and mother or whoever's escorting her and giving her away. Flower girls will be attending her. Somebody will be holding her veil, her train, and all sorts of things like that. Sometimes we had candles. We had gals dressed in white linen, carrying candles. Dawn had like the virgins of Matthew 25. We had five gals that carried candles filled with oil. Hallelujah. And they were the dancers. We had dancers at our wedding. It was a very interesting wedding. And anyway, so what was Yeshua saying when he was lamenting over Jerusalem? He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, I have a sense that a lot of people who haven't been to Israel think that Israel and Jerusalem is filled with Jews alone. That if you haven't been there, that you likely have a misconception. And I was very surprised, I've got to be honest with you. The first time I went to Israel, I was rather surprised to find out that there's a lot of Christians. In fact, when I first went to Israel, I expected to meet Jews and spend a lot of time meeting Messianic Jews in Israel. And you know what? On my first trip, I kept hanging out with Christians. Our tour guide kept introducing us to Christians. And I'm not complaining about it. But what I'm saying about it is, it surprised me how many Christians. These were Americans. These were German Christians, American Christians, Swiss, Danish, from all over the world, Latin, Korean, all over the world. Christians are in Jerusalem. And Arabs. Israel has a large Arab Christian population. Okay, there's hundreds of thousands of Christians, perhaps as many as a million in Israel. I don't know, of Christians. There are Arabs in Israel. There's probably a million Arabs. I know there's a million Arabs or more. Maybe there's, and then there's about 6 million Jews, 6 or 7 million Jews in Israel, between 6 and 7 million Jewish people. So you have to understand hermeneutics, okay? And one of the principles of hermeneutics is interpreting the Bible in and how you interpret the Bible. And one of the principles of hermeneutics is context. Putting the words, the scriptures that you read in its proper context. You cannot take one verse and stand on that verse by itself and say that that verse is the only, that this is, you know, like for example, when they, the people who say that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday, stand on the verse that the believers, that the believers broke bread on the first day of the week. They gathered together and broke bread. And so from that one verse, one scripture, they believe that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday. And that's just one verse. That's one verse. Amen? So my friend Terry gave me these five principles, and I kind of like this. So I'm going to say first of hermeneutics, of biblical interpretation, before we get into the Word. Number one, accept the meaning of Scripture on the time, in the time it was written and the time we are living in. Accept the meaning of Scripture as it applies to the time it was written and as it applies to the time you're living in, because the Scripture is a living Word, right? The Word of God is alive. It's a two-edged sword. It's alive. Amen? Amen. So it applies. Does it apply to your life today, or is it just about Moses and Abraham and Jacob thousands of years ago? Is it relevant to your life today? Okay. Number two, so we want to apply it to its context in the time historically. We also want to apply it to our lives today. Amen? All right, number two, take the Scripture in context. Don't cherry pick. Look at verses in the context they were written, what is happening around them. Cross-reference. Everybody say cross-reference. We're going to do some cross-referencing here today, okay? Number three, compare scriptures with scriptures, such as, some scriptures. For example, Joel 2 talks about the blood red moon, but Revelation 6:12 also talks about the blood red moon. Okay? It's talking about the same blood red moon. So cross-reference and see what was God saying about the blood red moon in those two chapters. And there's many other chapters that talk about the blood red moon. I'm just giving you a couple references. All right? So cross-reference. Number four, before the truth is realized, all scriptural contradictions must be harmonized. Before the truth can be realized, all scriptural contradictions must be harmonized. In other words, before you can really understand truth, you must harmonize the scriptures. It's got to flow, guys. You can't come up with a doctrine or a theory or a teaching that doesn't flow. You know? Some people, and I'm going to talk about the second coming today, some people teach that there's two second comings, that Jesus comes in the clouds to take us away, and then he comes back again for the second coming. And like he comes in the clouds for a little coming, a partial coming. Now, again, just let me say this. Let me begin by saying, I respect people, and I teach what I see, what I see in the Word, and I'm not a people pleaser. I'm not a man pleaser, and you may not agree with what I teach, and that's okay. And if you don't agree with me, and you know, when it comes to my views on the rapture, if you don't agree, that's cool. We can agree to disagree on that. As long as we agree that Yeshua is the Messiah and that he died for our sins and he rose from the dead, all I ask is you give me a chance. All I ask is folks watching, folks here, give me a chance. Pray about. Don't just jump on me, you know, online or on Facebook. If you don't agree with what I'm saying right away, chew on it, study it, pray about it, because I'm going to teach you differently. Now, the Bible says, and why do I do that? Because the Bible says the oracles of God were entrusted to Jewish people. And in Romans 3, it says, is there any worth, any value in being a Jew? Much in every way, Paul says. For the oracles of God were given to the Jews. Ladies, can I ask you, the whispering gets on the camera, and it gets on the message. So if you want to, I'm just from previous messages, you'd scoot down a little bit if you want to chat. Amen. It picks it up. Just FYI. Thank you. Okay. So anyway, let's moving forward. So you know, if you don't agree, that's cool. Just be open-minded that the Jewish perspective is different than the Jewish perspective is different than the Christian perspective, probably 90% of the time. You know, it's different than the Christian perspective. So if you know, Yeshua said salvation is of the Jews. It says in the Bible that the times of the Gentiles will end. They'll come to an end. I think we're seeing that. The times of the church age is coming to an end. And that's why churches are struggling. Many churches are struggling. Christians are not the majority in the country anymore. In the United States, Christianity in Europe, it's post-Christian Europe. Christians in Europe are a minority. The European Union is not Christian. So we're seeing a decline in Christianity. We're seeing it grow in places like China and Africa and India, but in first world countries, we're not seeing Christianity thrive like it once did. And as some of you folks may remember from your youth and your childhood, when everybody, you know, 90% of the people around you were Christians and everybody went to church, it's just not that way anymore, is it? Can I get an amen? Amen, if you agree with that. Lastly, watch for near and far prophetic applications of Scripture. Some prophecies are only partially fulfilled. Watch for near and far things in the future, prophetic applications. Sometimes you get a word from God and you think it's like, oh, I've got to run out and do this. You know, God said, okay, build a building to house people because there's trouble's coming. And I got to house people. So you go out and you build a building. Or God told my wife years ago she was going to have to give up her career as a pilot back in the 90s to serve the Jewish people. So she was ready to quit her job. He spoke to her twice in Israel. She took two trips to Israel by herself. And she heard from the Lord. And he gave both times she went to Israel, God said, are you willing to give up flying airplanes to serve my people? And she was distraught. I didn't even know her yet. This was a year or two before I met Dawn. And I didn't even know her, but she was ready to give it up, weren't you? Right away. And thank God she had wise pastors who said, well, step back. Step back and pray. So you may get a prophetic word, but God's not necessarily telling you to go out and do it tomorrow or today. Wait. Get a confirmation, pray about it, read the scriptures. There's safety in a multitude of counsel. Don't just get a word and run out, you know, and try to storm the White House. Yeah, I got a word for the president. I got to get to the president and run up to the White House, break through the Secret Service security line, and end up in jail. Don't. I don't suggest that. You know, if you have a word for the president, this is just an example. God's going to open a door, and you're going to be able to bring that word. Amen. Just pray about it. All right. So let's go on. I've given you some principles of interpretation. And so let's go on with today's message. So today's message is, again, as I said, the bridegroom and the second coming, part 3. And so we're going to talk about coming in the clouds. So in Matthew 24, I forgot to tell you about blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord before I get on. It says, Yeshua said to Jerusalem, "You will not see me again," Matthew chapter 23, verse 39. "For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" So he was speaking in code. Yeshua was a code talker, okay? He was a code talker, and he was speaking a parable. He was talking specifically, not just to all the people of Jerusalem, but specifically to the rabbis. He was speaking to everybody. And today, remember I said, look at it in the time it took place, but also look at it prophetically in your time. In our time, that word is speaking to Jews, to Christians, to Arabs, Muslims, and to whatever religion, anyone who's in Jerusalem, he's speaking to. Now, it doesn't mean that the Baha'i people who are a branch of the Muslims or the Druze who are a sect of the Muslims are listening to the word. Doesn't mean they read the word, but he's speaking it to them. Amen? You know, the speaker of the house of the Knesset is a Druze. He's a Druze, which is a sect of Islam, okay? And the speaker, the Israeli speaker, the deputy speaker of the house of the Knesset of the state of Israel is a Druze, okay? And my friend is his assistant. The guy's not Jewish, but he loves Israel. He loves Israel. His name's Hamad Amar, and he loves Israel. And his last name, Amar, in Spanish means to love, interestingly. And what was Jesus saying? What was Yeshua saying here when he said, "Jerusalem, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord'"? First of all, he's saying, "I'm the bridegroom." In Hosea chapter 2, and you can read that on your own, Hosea 2 and 3, the God of Israel betrothed himself, starting in verse 19. He betrothed himself to Israel. He says, "Forever. I will betroth you to me forever," he says. And then in chapter 3 of Hosea, let's go there for a second. Hold your place in Matthew and let's go to Hosea just for a second. We won't spend a lot of time there. Hosea chapter 2. So God says, he's speaking to Israel. Verse 16, "It will come about in that day, declares the Lord, that you will call me Ishi, my man." You will call me Ishi, like my husband. It's like an affectionate term for my husband, my man. And I told you ladies before, I said, you can call him that. You can call him when you pray to God in your quiet time, if you're single, if you're alone. You can call him your Ishi. He likes that. You know, he's your Ishi. That's a very affectionate, intimate term that you can call him. You know, he says that you will call him Ishi. He doesn't even say you can. He says you will. He says you will no longer call me Baali, my Baal, my idol, for I will remove the names of the Baals or the idols from her mouth. This is the God of Israel talking to the Jewish people. He says, so that they will be mentioned by their names no more. In that day I will also make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, the birds of the sky, and the creeping things of the ground. I will abolish the bow, the sword, and the war from the land. Well, heavens, that's in the millennium. He's gone ahead now, right here in context, remember? He's gone ahead. Now we can take the application. He's not only talking to Israel in the time of Hosea, he's talking to us in a future time that's beyond now. Hallelujah. It's in the future. Is there still bows? Heck, just go to Bass Pro Shop or Cabela's, you'll see plenty of bows, right? Amen. A lot of guys around here shoot bows. They don't shoot people, they shoot animals. They shoot deer and other critters. All right. So he's going to abolish the bow and the sword. And basically, as we've seen, guns and ammo and all that stuff is going to do away with it all one day in the future. And I'll make them lie down in safety. And God says in verse 19, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice. How long is forever?
Forever.
Thank you, sir. How long is forever? Forever is a pretty long time. Amen? Forever is a long time. It's eternity. Amen? I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice forever, in loving kindness and compassion. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. It will come about in that day that I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the heavens. They will respond. The earth will respond to the grain and the new wine. I will sow her for myself in the land. I will also have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. And I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. Here he's talking to the Gentiles. He's saying to the Gentiles, you can cross-reference this in Romans 9. He says to the Gentiles, I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And I'll say, they will say, you are my God. That's Romans 9:25. So there's a cross-reference, a hermeneutical cross. He's talking about the future here. This is a prophet hundreds of years before the coming of Yeshua. And Paul talks about him in Romans 9:25. It talks about the coming of the Gentiles. If you're not Jewish, say he's talking about me. He's talking about you. Praise God. I'm in there. Say, that's me. So then Hosea, the prophet, he made him marry a prostitute. He says in chapter 3, he says, then go, the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. So I bought her for myself. She was a prostitute for 15 shekels. He had to go down to Jerusalem, pay the pimp for his wife. He had to pay for her to get paid 15 shekels, which represents the crucifixion, the sacrifice of our Lord, is payment for us to belong to him. Amen. He paid a price. He gave his life for us. Amen. Okay. So this is symbolic, this paying of 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a half of barley. Then I said to her, you shall stay with me for many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So I will also be toward you. For the sons of Israel, here, this is a parable for Israel. Listen, for the sons of Israel will remain for many days without a king or a prince, without a sacrifice or a sacred pillar, and without an ephod or household idols. Afterward, everybody say afterward, the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days. In the last days. So here we see unfaithful Israel. God betrothed himself to Israel as a bridegroom. He said, I'm your bridegroom. Everybody say bridegroom. Forever. Romans 11:29 says the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Amen? Are you all familiar with that scripture? The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So when God called Israel to be his bride, it was without repentance. It's an irrevocable calling. It's forever. It doesn't end. And he uses Hosea as an example. Even though Israel played the harlot and went chasing after the Baals and the Asherahs and all the, you know, those things, God did that. The Israelites strayed and they went a-whoring. Amen? God said, I'm going to woo you back. I'm going to woo you in the wilderness. And he used Hosea as an example in chapter 3 to say, go and get your prostitute wife, buy her back, tell her she's going to live with you, for just as she comes to you, so the sons of Israel, verse 4 of chapter 3, are going to come back and reign many days without me, without a king or a prince, without God, without a sacrifice or sacred pillar, without the ephod of the priesthood, without a temple, without an altar, for sacrifice. In verse 5 there, chapter 3. Afterward, the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days. Folks, if you're Jewish, you don't have the Lord if you don't have Jesus. He's telling you right here, you're not going to come to the Lord until you're not going to know who he is until the last days, the very end days. And if you're Jewish and you're watching and you don't even know that you're in the last days, man, you need to read your Bible. You need to read the prophets. Read Isaiah 53. Read Isaiah 9. Read Zechariah 12:10. And read, restart with those. Isaiah 9, Isaiah talking about God's Son. Isaiah 53, talking about the sacrifice of Yeshua, of Jesus. Read Zechariah 12:10. They shall look upon me whom they've pierced as a father mourns for an only son. That's a good place to start. There's a lot of prophecies about the Messiah. Okay, let's move on. So God said he would betroth himself to Israel forever. She went astray, but God bought her back at the cross. Amen? He bought her back at the cross, and he never stopped being, Israel never stopped being his bride. The Gentiles were grafted into an olive tree. Amen? Grafted into an olive tree. And it says, they stand only by their faith, and not to be arrogant or conceited towards the Jews, the natural branches, it says in Romans 11. And it says, it even says that that olive tree is the Jewish tree. It says it's their, speaking of the Jews, it says it's their olive tree. It says, if the Jews do not remain in unbelief, I will graft them in again to their own tree. It's their, let me say, it's their tree. So if you're not Jewish, even though you far outnumber the Jews, even though the church is far bigger, even though the church has much more buildings and much more money and much, I've been to Rome and Israel. I've been to the cathedrals of Italy and Spain and cathedrals of England. I've been all in cathedrals, seen the glorious, architecture of the cathedrals in France and all over Europe and the money that was put into these things. I look at the Messianic Jews and how little, we're such a small group, but it's not about size. Somebody said to me, your congregation, we're a mega Messianic congregation. We are a mega. Why are we a mega Messianic congregation? Because we're the only Messianic congregation here. So we're the mega Messianic congregation. So if you want to be part of a mega synagogue, come join us. Amen? We're huge. All right. But it's not about numbers. Amen. It's not about numbers. It's about Jesus had 12. He started with 12. Amen? He said, you'll do greater things than I. You know what? I started with 15. He started with 12. I started with 15. How do you like that? I did something greater than my Lord. That's what he says. He says, you'll do greater things. I started with 3 more people than he did. 15 people. That's what I started with 19 years ago. I'm just joking around with you. Okay, turn back to Matthew 24, please. So what was God saying when Yeshua, and at the end of Matthew 23, when he says, for I say to you from now on, Jerusalem, you will not see me again till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's saying to the rabbis of Jerusalem, I am the God of Israel who betrothed himself to you in the wilderness in Hosea. In Hosea, I'm the God who said you are going to go astray, Israel, and go after the Baals and the Asherim and the golden calves. You are going to stray away from me, go on the high places and make idols. And you were going to become New Age, and you were going to become Buddhist, and you were going to do all these funky things. But that in the end of days, I'm going to send my son to pay for the price to buy you back from your harlotry, and then you're going to come back to me with trembling to my goodness, he says in Hosea 3, in the end of days. He's telling the rabbis of Jerusalem, I am God. That's number one. Number two, he's telling the people of Jerusalem, Jew, and this is context, this is hermeneutics. Today, take it to today now. He's telling every Jew, every Christian who reads it, every Arab who reads it, every Christian Arab, he's saying, you will not see me. And then this is important that I say Christians, because Christians believe in, many Christians, the majority of Christians believe in a rapture, a pre-trib rapture, and they believe the Jewish people are going to be left for 7 years. But he's speaking to Christians here. That's my point. He's speaking to hundreds of thousands of Christians, as well as Jews, when he talks to Jerusalem. And the only way you'd know that is if you went there and you met all the Christians there. There's thousands of them. Thousands. Of all varieties. Protestant, Presbyterian, Charismatic, Baptist. Not Charismatic Baptist, but Charismatic and Baptist. Pentecostals. There may be Charismatic Baptists there for all I know. Everybody's in Jerusalem. Everybody's there. Episcopalians, evangelicals, non-denominationals, you name it. Mormons are there. Everybody's there. Presbyterians, yeah. Episcopalians, Greek Orthodox, everybody's there. Okay, so he's telling the people of Jerusalem, you're not going to see me. No rapture, no second coming, no nothing until Jerusalem says, and he's talking to the leaders now, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You following me? Yes. Nobody's going to see him in a private rapture, in a public second coming, until Jerusalem says. Now, why is Jerusalem going to say that? And this is what I'm going to get to today. All right? Coming in the clouds. Turn to Revelation 1:1. Well, first of all, let me just turn to Matthew 24 here. Why? What did he say in Matthew 24? His disciples said to him, in verse 3, they said, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? If you go to verse 29, he tells them what the sign is. He says, but immediately after the tribulation, after the tribulation. Isn't that interesting? Immediately after the tribulation of those days, everybody say those days. Now, this was written 2,000 years ago, and he's speaking about the future. He says, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky. Has that happened yet?
No.
So, hasn't happened yet. There's going to be a big tribulation, and then there's going to be, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, stars will fall from the sky, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then, everybody saying then, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Oh my goodness. And then it says, after all that, when they see him coming with power and great glory, and we're going to look at that, he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet. And what is 1 Thessalonians 4:16? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, the shofar of God. This instrument, this is what the trump of God is truly is like. This is a type. This is what he gave. This is what they blew at Jericho when the walls came down. This is a ram's horn. This is what they blew, what Gideon's trumpet was. And this is the trumpet he's talking about. That's the sound. One of the Psalms, I think it's 89, says, blessed are you who's heard the sound of that instrument. Because when you hear the heavenly trumpet, you'll know what to listen for, his coming. Amen? So he says he's going to gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other, after a tribulation after the sun is darkened and the sky, stars fall and the moon doesn't give its light, after this, you see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory, then he's going to gather. That doesn't sound pre-trib to me, does it? Now, I was taught by a man, a pastor, who said to me, he said, he wrote a book and I read his book, and he said he used to believe one way, but then he decided to follow what the Bible said. He used to believe a doctrine taught to him by preachers, but then he decided to follow what the Bible said, because he said he didn't want to stand. He's a man in his 80s now. He didn't want to stand before God. We're all going to stand before God. We're all going to have to give an account. Amen? We're all going to stand before God. Would you rather stand before God and say, God, I believe what your word said, or I believe what everybody else believed in the doctrine that the preacher preached? What would you rather have to say to God? I believe the doctrine that the preacher preached and what everybody else around me believed so I could fit in with the crowd. Amen? Or would you rather stand before God and say, God, your word said this, and I believed your word and I followed it? I hope that's what you'd want to do. Now, again, I hope you're right. If those, for those who believe in this pre-trib rapture, I hope you're right. I always say, it sounds great. I love it, you know. Come get me before the tribulation. I don't want to go through tribulation. I'm not a masochist. I'm not a masochist. I don't want to hurt myself, you know. I don't like pain. Yeah, I don't want to go through tribulation. Do you? Sounds great, but it's not what it says. Ooh, it's not what it says. Okay, all right, let's go on. So he's coming in the clouds. So let's look at another scripture. Let's look at Revelation 1:7. And then remember hermeneutics, cross-referencing, and future events. How it applies to us today. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every... Oh, by the way, the man who inspired me, and he's probably watching today, he's a good friend of mine, he's a preacher's kid, and he inspired me to read this because he believes in this pre-trib rapture, which is fine, and God bless him for what, you know, I love him whether he believes in it or he doesn't. But anyway, he said to me that nobody will see him in the clouds, and that got me studying. When he said that, when he said the Lord's going to come and rapture us in the clouds and nobody's going to see him, and I said, I'm going to study that. So let's read verse 1:7 here, Revelation 1:7. Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye, oh my goodness, how many eyes will see him when he comes in the clouds? Every eye, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Oh, we just saw that. Go back to Matthew 24. You don't have to go back. I'll read it for you. Matthew 24. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. Well, you see a little connection there. When he comes in the clouds, all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Why do they mourn for him? Why? What happens? We're going to see. I'm going to show you. Okay, hang on to that. But let's just look at the coming in the clouds for now. Even those who pierced him and all the tribes of the earth in Revelation 1:7 will mourn over him, so it will be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who was and is to come, the Almighty. Praise God. Okay, so to understand this, you got to go to Zechariah 12. Why do they mourn? So we see this mourning when he's coming in the clouds, when the whole world sees him coming in the clouds. All the tribes of the earth mourn, and they mourn for him. And it says, where's 1:7? So let's, why do they mourn? So let's go to Zechariah 12 and let's find out. I'm going to give you the answer. In Zechariah 12. That's beautiful. It's like a harp. It's like the angels in the back of the room. Okay, Zechariah 12. the burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I am going to make Jerusalem, oh my goodness. He said, Jerusalem, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He says, behold, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling, stumbling, to all the peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. It will come about in that day, everybody say in that day, that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples, and all who lift it will be severely injured. Oh my goodness, every nation. And all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. Maybe that's why the tribes mourn. Every tribe of the earth mourns. Why? How many tribes come against it? All. Every nation of the earth is going to attack Israel. This is why Jerusalem, no, if Jerusalem doesn't see him, nobody's going to see him. Because the whole world is going to attack his country, the Holy Land, his land. Holy means belonging to the Lord. Everybody say that. Holy means belonging to the Lord. So if it's his land and they're attacking his land, is he going to be happy about that? No. So let's read on here. He says in verse 3 of Zechariah 12, it will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples, and all who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. In that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with bewilderment and his rider with madness, but I will watch over the house of Judah while I strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. Then the clans of Judah will say in their hearts, a strong support for us are the inhabitants of Jerusalem through the Lord of hosts, their God. And that day I will make the clans of Judah like a fire pot among pieces of wood and a flaming torch among sheaves. So they will consume on the right hand and on the left the surrounding peoples, while the inhabitants of Jerusalem again dwell on their own sites in Jerusalem. The Lord will also save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem will not be magnified above Judah. He's going to save Jerusalem from all the nations attacking. Let's read on. In that day, verse 8, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Everybody say, the Lord will defend. And the one who is feeble among them in that day will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. And in that day I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Folks, Jesus, the reason he says to Jerusalem, you will not see me again until you call for me. And I don't think he really means that they're going to have to say, the rabbis are actually going to have to get up on their altar and say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. I think they're going to just say, Jesus! Yeshua, help! That's what they're going to say. We believe! Help us! He's going to be the last resort. Hallelujah. At that point. When all the nations of the world and Israel is overwhelmed, Israel is a great military, Israel is very strong, but they're going to realize they've been hurt. Christian friends have been sharing Jesus with them for decades. Hallelujah. Amen. They're going to realize, and let's see what they say, in that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That's why he's coming back. That's why if Jerusalem doesn't see him, nobody's going to see him, brother and sister. If you're watching today, if Israel and Jerusalem doesn't see him, nobody's going to see him. Because how many eyes will see him when he comes in the clouds? Every eye. So if Israel doesn't see him and he's coming back to save Jerusalem, his city, where he's going to sit on David's throne, Luke chapter 1 told Mary, and when the angel Gabriel came and said, you're going to have a son who's going to sit on David's throne. Where's David's throne? Jerusalem. Amen? So he's coming back to save his city. And he says in verse 9, that day I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child. Oh my goodness. they will mourn. Isn't that what we read in Matthew 24? That they will mourn for him when they see his sign in the clouds? It says it. In Revelation 1:7, which we read, I'll read it again. Quickly, I'll read just that little part. 1:7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Oh my. Now let's go back to Zechariah. Why will they mourn? Because they all attacked him. They all attacked his city. They were so blind, they attacked Jerusalem. All the nations, including this one, in that day, and at that time, even this nation will be among those, if we're here, which I don't think we will be, to be honest. If you know my teaching, we're going to be divided into four nations, weaker nations, by the time Donald Trump is finished with his second term in 6 years. We're going to be divided. There will no longer be a United States of America. There will be four countries. Read Daniel 8. Donald Trump is the goat, but that's a teaching for another day. I'm not going to go down that road. Okay. So, verse 10, I will pour out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and of supplication so that they will look on me. He has to pour out his spirit on them just in order for them to see him whom they have pierced. And he's saying the whole world, and they will mourn, and all the tribes of the earth are going to mourn. Not just them in Jerusalem, the whole world. Every eye, everybody say every eye, will mourn. Every person will mourn when they see him coming. After the tribulation, after the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give its light, after all those things in Matthew 24:29, amen, after the stars fall from the heavens, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and people, the tribes of the earth, will mourn because he's coming back to save Israel from her enemies. Okay, let's go on. And they will weep bitterly over him like a bitter weeping of a firstborn. And that day there will be great mourning in Jerusalem like the mourning of Hadad-Ramon in the plain of Megiddo. The land will mourn, every family by itself, and the family of the house of David by themselves, and the whole world. And I'll just say that, the whole world. And it says in chapter 13, in that day a fountain will be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for impurity. It will come about in that day. Remember it said waters are going to flow out of Jerusalem? In the book of Revelation, it says waters will start to flow out of, I'm not sure where that scripture is, but the waters are going to flow. I think it's in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 46. I think it's Ezekiel 46. I'm pretty sure. When he's talking about the temple, waters are going to flow out of Jerusalem. And here he's talking about it. In that day, a fountain will be opened. Hallelujah. For the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for impurity, it will come about in that day, declares the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land. Remember the idols that kept him? He betrothed himself, but he pushed her away because of her idols. He says, but that day I will cut off the names of the idols. They will no longer be remembered. I will also remove the prophets and the unclean spirit from the land. I think he's talking about the false prophets. And if anyone will still prophesies, then his father and mother who give birth to him will say to him, maybe he'll remove all the prophets because he's going to be there. You shall not live, for you have spoken falsely in the name of the Lord. I think he's talking about the false prophets. And his father and mother who gave birth to him will pierce him through. It's going to be a tough day for the false prophets. Also, it will come about in that day that the prophets will be ashamed. All right, let's go on. So then he says, let's go to chapter 14. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured and the houses plundered and the women ravished, half of the city exiled, but the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. So half of the city is going to be exiled. They're going to run from the city. They're going to flee. And half of the city, women will be ravished. That's what it's going to be like when he comes. But verse 3, this is key. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle. And that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of, that's in East Jerusalem, by the way, where the Palestinians claim that they're gonna start the capital in East Jerusalem. They claim, and their false claim of a two-second state, which is never going to happen, because God's never going to give East Jerusalem. He's never going to give, that's the Mount of Olives, is in East Jerusalem. Okay? He's got to come back to Jerusalem. They want to call it Al-Quds. The Palestinians want to call it Al-Quds. And he'll set foot in verse 4 of Zechariah 14. And that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives in Al-Quds. Does it say that?
No.
No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, and that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in the middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. You will flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of mountains, the mountains reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee just as you fled before the earthquake. It's going to be one scary day. Amen? In that day there will be no light. The sun will be darkened. Ooh.
Wow.
We read that, didn't we? And the moon will not give its light. In that day there will be no light. Wow. He even says it right here. No luminaries. The luminaries will dwindle. The stars will fall. For it will be a unique day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but it will come about that at evening time there will be light. Ooh, interesting. His light. And in that day, living waters will flow out of Jerusalem. Half, that comes from Ezekiel 47. That's the verse where the waters come out. Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12. We're not going to read there today. I'm just going to tell you about it. And in that day, living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and the other half toward the western sea. It will be in summer as well as in winter. So waters are going to flow toward the eastern sea and the western sea. There's going to be a river flowing out of Jerusalem. And Revelation tells us it's going to be lined with trees, and the leaves of those trees are for the healing of the nations. Amen? And God will be king over all. And it says in verse 16 that then it will come about that any who are left from the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Hosts, to celebrate the Feast of Booths. That's Sukkot. Remember, I don't have the flyer here. But we're going to have Sukkot in the mountains. Here it is. Join us for Sukkot in the mountains. That's the Feast of Booths. You're all going to be celebrating it when Jesus comes back. Why not celebrate it now? September 28th, 29th, and 30th. Right here in Bluff City, Tennessee, 5 miles up the road, we're going to be doing it. You can learn about it. I'll teach on it, and there'll be other people teaching on it. Come join us for Sukkot in the Mountains, September 28th through 30th, on a 100-acre farm. We'll have a tent. I'll teach you all about the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. So that's my plug. But so what verse was I in there? Anybody? Okay, verse 16. Then it will come about that any who are left of all the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of Hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Booths. And it will be that whichever of the families of the earth, the Gentiles, and it will not that does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of Hosts, there will be no rain on them.
Amen.
If the family of Egypt does not go up or enter to celebrate the feast, then there will be no rain will fall on them. It will be the plague with which the Lord smites the nations who do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Booths. Now, I imagine the folks down at the Speedway would rather see the race than go to Jerusalem for the feast, because they don't want rain to see their race, right? But we're not here to worship the God of Chevrolet. We're here to worship the God of Israel. Amen? Praise God. We're in the house of the Lord on his Sabbath. What a blessing. Turn one more scripture in Zechariah 8. This is why it's so important that you understand the Jewish perspective. Zechariah 8. He comes back. There's a reason he comes back. He comes back to save Israel from being attacked by all the nations of the earth, including whatever this one looks like at that time. That's what brings him back. That's why he comes in the clouds. That's why he gathers us. Now, people say to me, somebody said, well, it happens in the twinkling of an eye. So I said, so? So we're caught up in the twinkling of an eye. If a day to the Lord is as 1,000 years to a man, what's the twinkling of an eye to a man? To the Lord. If a twinkling of an eye to a man may be 8 hours, 3 days. If a day to the Lord is as 1,000 years to a man, what's the twinkling of an eye? A month? 100 years? 50 years? So in other words, it may take that whole twinkling of an eye to God maybe 50 years or 50 weeks. In other words, he's going to prepare you to ride those horses. He's going to train you. He's going to give you your sword when you come back with him in your glorified body. Amen. He's going to teach you how to use your sword and your shield and your buckle and your bridle and your buckle. Amen. He's going to, everybody, we're all going to be horseback riders. Woo! Giddy up! Even old Rabbi Joe can't ride a bicycle. I can know how to ride one. I just don't know if I can ride one. You're all going to be riding horses. Somebody get excited. Shoo! Zechariah 8, then the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Zion. Yes, with great wrath I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. In Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord's will be called the holy mountain. And I'll stop there with Zechariah. I'm not stopping the message, but I'm stopping about why he's coming back. So he's coming in the clouds to save Israel after the tribulation, after it's a dark day. He says it in Zechariah 14. It's a day like no other, or Zechariah 12. He says it's a day like no other, no light until nighttime. There'll be no light. It'll be dark. Sun will be darkened, Matthew 24. The moon will not give its light, Matthew 24, 29. He says, if you follow me, I tell people, don't believe me. Don't take my word for it. Pray about what I say. Just pray about it. That's all I ask. Study what I'm giving you. I've given 3 messages on this. Go back and listen. It's on our website. You want to order the CDs? $25. It's a 3-CD set. You can order it. You can have it at home. You can study all the scriptures. You can see it. Pray about it. That's all I ask people. Pray about it. You can go on our website and see it archived. Some of them are on Facebook. This one's on Facebook on my page. So, you know, if you're a friend of mine, you can watch this on Facebook. Okay, so that's the coming in the cloud. So you see the events of Matthew 24, 29. What will be the sign, his disciples asked him, of your coming? What will be the sign? He says, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars of the sky will fall. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in the clouds. And then they will mourn. They will mourn for me. And then I will send my angels forth with trumpets, shofars. And they will gather my elect from the four winds in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15. Which could be 2 months, 3 months to God. Because a day to the Lord is as 1,000 years to a man. A twinkling of an eye to God could be 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. I don't know. We don't know. So his twinkling of an eye is different than ours. He doesn't say, if it's his eye or my eye, I got a feeling it's his. Okay. So let's look. So we come to judgment. This brings us. So he saves Israel, and then what does he do next? The very next thing, if you go to Joel chapter 2, And interesting, Matthew 25, same thing, is the judgment. He, after he finishes defeating Israel's enemies, he comes to judgment. And let's look and see. Where's Joel? Mine says Joe, the book of Joe. I tell people, they say, when people call me Joel, I say, no, I'm Joe. I haven't earned my L yet. All right. So Joel 2. Oh, my goodness. Verse 30. I will display, well, let's go a little bit before verse 30 in Joel 2. Let's go to 18. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and will have pity on his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I'm going to send you grain, new wine, and oil. You'll be satisfied and full with them. I will never again make you a reproach among the nations. He's talking to Jews who he had rejected for a time, but now he's accepted us again. But I will remove the northern army from you. I will drive it into a parched and desolate land, the Russians and the Turks, its vanguard into the eastern sea and in the rear guard into the western sea, and its stench will rise and foul smell will come up for it has done great things. Do not fear, O land, Israel. Rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear beasts of the field. He goes on, verse 23, so rejoice, O sons of Zion, and be glad for the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you the rain, the early and the latter rain before. The threshing floors will be full of grain, the vats will overflow, and the new wine and oil. Then I will make up for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locust and the stripping. He promises great blessings for Israel, and he goes on promising all these things. Then verse 30, then he promises the Spirit. Oh my goodness, remember Zechariah 12:10? They shall look upon me whom they have pierced as a father mourns for an only son, and I will pour out my spirit upon them, a spirit of grace and supplication. Look at verse 28 here. I will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, not just Israel. Every eye will see, every tribe will mourn, and he will pour out his spirit on all mankind. Hallelujah. Do you see the connections? Amen. Pour out his spirit, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. It will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and Jerusalem there will be those who escape. As the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls, this is the same thing as Zechariah 12 and 14. He's talking about it right here. It's the same event. Let's see why he's going to judge the nations. Let's go on to chapter 3. For behold, in those days and at that time, everybody say at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, which is the valley of the Mount of Olives. Then I will enter into the judgment with them there, the nations, on behalf of my people and my inheritance, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land. They have also cast lots for my people and made them slaves, traded a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. So for three reasons, he's going to judge the nations, he says. One, they have scattered his people. They've divided his land. What are we trying to do? What is the United States trying to do? Since Richard Nixon, what have we been trying to do? Divide his land into two states. There will never be a two-state solution. There is only a one-state solution. Our friends from Ishmael, the other Kola, they're welcome to stay in the land as long as they believe and follow the Lord. We won't kick them out. But the ones who rebel and fight, they will be dealt with. Hallelujah. But God loves Arabs, God loves Jews, and many Arabs will come and be Christians and be believers, messianic. Everybody's going to be messianic because the bridegroom's a Jew. being messianic is preparation for the millennium. You know that? Being messianic is preparation for the millennium. And if you learn how to bake challah, He may hire you to bake challah for him in the kingdom, all right? And if you learn to make a nice kugel like my wife does, he may you know, say to Don, well, you're going to be my chief kugel maker. And if you make good chicken soup with matzo balls, you know, he may say, you're going to be my Jewish penicillin maker. I'm going to put you in charge of making chicken soup. And you see what I'm saying? This is all preparation for the millennium. Be cool. Be Jewish. Be messianic. All right. Get more Jewish. We are your local connection to Israel. Like us on Facebook. Sign up for our newsletter and our website. It's a teaching newsletter. All right. So let's conclude here. So we're talking about judgment. So he says he's going to judge in Joel 3 for three reasons. He's going to bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat and enter into judgment with them there for dividing his land, for scattering his people among the nations, and for selling us as slaves. Now, go to Matthew again, Matthew 25. There's so many scriptures I could go to. I can't get to them all. Go to Matthew 25. Let's look at the judgment in verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit in his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. And where do you think he's going to be? In the Valley of Jehoshaphat, maybe? And so he'll separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Most dispensational Christian pastors and theologians teach that this is about how he's judging the nations based on Joel 3:2 for how they treated Israel. Most dispensational Christian theologians teach that this scripture is dealing with the judgment of the nations on based on Joel 3:2, how he treated the Jewish people. Let's read on. Verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him. He'll separate one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. How many of you brought something to eat today to feed me? Praise God. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. Who brought a drink today? Praise God. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when do we see you a stranger and invite you in or naked and clothe you? When do we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these, my brothers, even least of them, you did it to me. It's the Joel 3:2 judgment. To the least that you gave a cup of water, visited my brothers in prison, fed them, clothed them, loved them, broke bread with them, lifted their arms, supported them, prayed for them, came and worshiped with them. You're going to be blessed. The king will answer and say, truly I say to you, the extent that you did it to one of these, my brothers, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And those are the people out there who call themselves Christians and hate Israel and support the other guys, but support the two-state solution. Those are the people who call themselves Christians but support abortion, support the platform that supports abortion, supports Planned Parenthood, supports sodomy and the sodomites and the Gomorrans and all that good stuff. All that stuff. Not good stuff. All that stuff. He says, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. See, it was never prepared for people, but he's going to send people in there. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger. You did not invite me in. Naked. See, I'm a stranger. I came here 19 years ago. Some of you had invited me in and helped care for me because I came here with nothing, with my wife, and I lived with my parents, her parents, for a year. And it was my Christian friends who loved Israel that the reason that I'm still standing here today by the grace of God that I'm still here. It wasn't the Jewish people that kept me going. If I had to depend on the Jewish people, except for my blessed mother who's helped me, it was the Christians who supported me. And I thank God for Christians, the ones who love Israel. Amen? That's how we've made it, my family. Praise God. And no, you know, God brought me here, and God set up this congregation, and God established a covenant with me, and he said, my hands will complete this work. The day I started this 19 years ago in March 2000, 18 years ago, God said, the word I got from the Lord was Zechariah 4:6, the hands of Zerubbabel will lay the cornerstone of this house, the hands of Zerubbabel will finish it. My hands or my son's hand will finish this work. And no man or no person, no woman, no rebel will put asunder what God has made a covenant with. Amen? Nobody can stop it. No human being. All you can do is curse yourself. When you start cursing the Jews, when you start attacking the Jews, you end up just cursing yourself. Look at the Romans. Look at the Germans. Look at the Babylonians. Look at the Persians. Just look at history. Open your eyes. So the judgment of Matthew 25, if you look that up from a dispensational perspective, you're going to see it's connected to Joel 3:2. And then one last scripture here, Daniel 7. And I could go on, but I'm just going to stop with Daniel 7. Verse 9, the Ancient of Days. I kept looking until thrones were set up. Ooh, what happens at the judgment? Thrones are set up, right? And the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him. Myriads upon myriads were standing before him. The court sat, and the books were opened. Oh my goodness, judgment. The court sat, and the books were opened. The book of life, the book of what other books are there? Book of Remembrance. What? Huh? Deeds. Right. All our deeds. He will judge us for our deeds. Remember, we read that. He will repay each. And okay, I've got two more quick scriptures, and then let me just get through this quick. Okay. So let me read. A river of fire was flowing, coming out. The court sat, and the books were open. Then I kept looking because of the sound of the boastful words which the horn was speaking. I kept looking, and his body was slain. His body was destroyed and given to the burning fires. For the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away. But an extension of light was granted to them for an appointed period of time. I kept looking in the night visions. This is Daniel. And behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. And that is the judgment again. And we see again the Lord coming in the clouds with power and glory to receive his kingdom. Verse 13, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. He only comes once. Folks, there's one. Say, if you believe it, say it. There's one second coming. And every eye will see. Every eye will see. And the last two scriptures about repaying. Remember, it says he will repay those. We talked about, he says he will repay those. Where did it say that? In the books of Moses. Turn to Matthew 16:27. This is a big topic. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Judgment will immediately follow the coming of the Son of Man. Judgment of the nations because they divided his land, because they scattered the Jewish people, they divided the land of Israel, and they made slaves of the Jews. That's what he's going to judge. And he's coming to save Jerusalem, folks. He's coming to save Israel from all the nations of the earth attacking. That destroys, blows the doctrine of imminence out of the water. He cannot come back until Jerusalem is attacked by all nations. Prophetically. It's not in the Word. He can't come back until Jerusalem is attacked by all nations. There's no such thing as imminency. It's a lie. It's a lie. He cannot come back tomorrow. He cannot come back until Jerusalem is surrounded. Read Luke 21. Read Matthew 24. You'll see he talks about Jerusalem surrounded by armies and her desolation. Amen. Read Matthew 24. Read Mark 13. Read Luke 21. He comes back to save Jerusalem and Israel from the Jewish people, his holy land, the place of his throne, his dwelling place, Zechariah 8. Amen. He's going to be married to you and to me. We're going to be married on the altar at the Temple Mount. The wedding ceremony, and the father will be the rabbi. Hallelujah. And he'll preside over the ceremony between the son and Isaiah 56. He says to the eunuch, to the foreigner, who keeps my Sabbaths and does what pleases me, to you I will give a name better than sons and daughters. What's a name better than sons and daughters? Ishi, my husband, my bride. Bride. That's the name he's going to give to Isaiah 56. The ones who keeps his Sabbaths and who do what pleases him. And he says, and they say, let not those foreigners who join themselves to the Lord will say, let not the Lord separate me from his people. And he says, for to the foreigner, the eunuch who keeps my Sabbaths and does what pleases me, I'll bring you to my holy mountain. I'll give you a name better than sons and daughters. I'll call you bride. Because a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And let no man, no son, no daughter, no cousin, no parent, no friend, no boss, no harlot, put asunder what God has joined together. Amen. See, the first relation, the primary, the best title you can have with God is to be his bride. Not just his son. We're all his children. His children are going to be the guests. Revelation 19:7. I've been teaching Passover for 22 years. I always say, I put a white scarf on my bride, Revelation 19:7, for it was given to her, the bride, to clothe herself with fine linen. Gosh, you guys must know this by heart by now. To clothe herself with fine linen, for the fine linen is the righteousness acts of the saints. And he said, blessed are they who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the guests. The guests are the sons and the daughters. The bride are the ones who join themselves to the Jewish people. One from a church, two from a town. If you're here, you're part of that bride. There's others out there. You don't have to leave your church. If you're called to leave, that's one thing. I've had people called, and I always tell them, go to your pastor if you feel called to come here. We're a real threat to the church, I got to tell you. There's lots of people here. I mean, we are a huge threat, all 40 of us, 30 of us, 25. We're so they haven't fled the churches. Don't worry, pastors. They haven't fled through the doors, busted down the doors of this place to get in, to make covenant with the Jewish people and keep the Sabbath. So don't sweat it. But you may get one pastor of 500 people or 300 people. You may get one who says, pastor, God's calling me to be messianic. Bless that person. Send them out. God will bless you for it. Please stand up. I want to bless you. So in conclusion, there is an order to the return of the Lord. First, the tribulation, followed by a darkening of the sun and moon. The sign of the Son of Man will appear Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn and see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. So judgment goes along with his return. Zechariah 12:10, Joel 2:3-2, Matthew 25, Daniel 7, Revelation 20:11. Finally, gathering together not just of the Jews, but of all the elect from the four corners, Matthew 29:31. If we follow the hermeneutic principles and how Scripture interprets it, how it interrelates and how it flows quite smooth. We'll see how it flows quite smoothly if we just follow it the way God laid it out for us. It's very simple. And the Lord said to Moses, "This is how you shall put my blessing upon the people." Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace, in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Shabbat shalom, and God bless you. Greet one another, and let's move to the fellowship hall as quick as we can.